What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting. Today's topic is all about that often frustrating topic of having our kids clean up their rooms. How can we as parents have an easier time getting a clean room and not have to do it ourselves, or die a little every time we pass by the storm of a room? I think you're really going to enjoy it. Also, as always, if you're new to the show or haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. You'll be notified every Tuesday and Thursday when we release new episodes. Stick around and listen as two flawed dads try not to screw up their kids too bad. Warren, good evening.
Good evening, Graham. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Good. I'm a little sunburnt. I was out. COVID has kept me inside most days, and I'm not used to what happens when I go out into the sun.
Understandably, we've all been just trapped inside. We've had a few sunburns in our house lately. It's kind of nice to have that summer weather back.
Yeah, it is. But back inside now.
Back inside. Now, you know, with the COVID, all this stuff being trapped inside, one of the biggest problems we were having was getting kids to clean up their damn rooms.
It's a constant thing at our house, certainly more for my tidy, tidy wife.
Yes. So I have a touch of ADHD. And
oh, do you?
Just a touch. And so seeing an incredibly messy room kind of makes me spiral a little bit. I have a real challenge with it. When it's not my mess, I mean.
When it's your mess, you're okay with it?
Well, yeah, because I know where everything is. So it's easy when it's my mess. But I posted a picture on Instagram, on our Instagram account, Flawed Dad Podcast, the other day, a picture of my oldest daughter's room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a disaster. It was so bad.
Everything is proportionate, though.
Yes.
I think. I mean, relative to what you're used to, disaster.
But it looked like a tornado had gone through a room.
Yeah.
Like, drawers were open, lights were on. She'd gone off to school. And there was clothes everywhere, toys everywhere. It would be difficult to find somewhere to step to walk into the room. And so I posted it on social media just asking for some tips from people as to what they do to get their kids to help or actually keep their rooms clean.
Yeah.
And we got some great comments, some really good ones. But I wanted to start off with one that I didn't like.
Yes, please.
And I actually wound up blocking these people, okay? Because they were getting kind of nasty. It was clearly a troll, but they were, how do I explain it? They were anti-child abuse advocates, okay? And I happen to be also an anti-child abuse advocate. But these were so dramatic that they were saying that asking your child to do chores, to clean up after themselves and to clean up their rooms, was akin to child abuse. That anything other than allowing your child to express themselves through play was child abuse. And, you know, I tried being polite and saying I can see your position, but I disagree with you. But they were just, you know, the police should take your kids away. You know, everything you're doing is child abuse.
They actually referenced the police?
Yes.
Wow. That's...
So they very quickly were blocked.
Yeah, they escalated that up pretty...
Yes.
Yeah, they went to level 100.
It was fairly clear that it was a troll account that just does this in order to try and gain followers, that sort of thing.
Yeah. But
I wanted to get your opinion on before we get into how to get your kids to clean up their room, I wanted to get your take on, do you believe that kids doing chores is akin to child abuse?
I think the goal as parents is to basically get them to be an autonomous individual and be able to hold themselves on their own once they get to a certain age, be it age 18, 19, 20, I don't know, some period of time where they're able to figure out and do their own things.
So you're saying that it's our responsibility to turn them into responsible citizens?
Yes, I am.
That's a big leap there, Graham, I think.
And I feel that chores are unfortunately... So I remember it's part of a book that we haven't got into, but to me, it's probably the best book that I've read on parenting. And we haven't... There's so many things I think we've avoided talking about it just because I could probably discuss it forever. But... In this book, it was talking about not calling it chores,
okay,
but calling it family contributions.
Sure, that okay? makes sense.
So it's not things that, I mean, there are some people that do enjoy some type of cleaning. But by and large, I think it's something that probably everyone would avoid doing, right?
Given like, our druthers, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I... clean dishes, I unload the dishwasher, et cetera, right? I clean clothes, et cetera. There are maybe some tasks in there that some people truly enjoy. Mm-hmm. I kind of get some satisfaction of actually vacuuming carpets. It's very similar to me with cutting lawn, et cetera. You make kind of patterns and like there's some parts of calming, but I mean, given a choice, yeah, I'd probably pass on actually doing vacuuming, et cetera. And my point is that all these things are things that I don't particularly like to do. Do I enjoy wiping my young kid's butt? No, not at all. But it's something that needs to get done. And otherwise, there's going to be a shitty ass somewhere around her. So
yep.
Let's not have that. So having that conversation with the kids of saying, listen, you're part of a family unit. You make messes. I make messes. Everyone make messes. We all need to participate in keeping this whole family thing going here, because I don't think it's fair for mom and dad to just handle everything while you get to do nothing. I'm sure you could probably appreciate that. And so I guess revolving the conversation around that, one of the things is cleaning up a room.
Yeah.
Mom, for instance, in our house really enjoys tidiness. I like being tidy as well, but not to the level that my wife does.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And your house is always spotless.
It's a matter of, yeah. Again, it's a matter of perspective. I mean, we don't wash, like I mop the floors maybe once a month. It reaches that level of filth where it's really comfortable.
Yeah.
Because if more stuff drops down, it's not the end of the world because it's already dirty. But at least it's dust free, right? Mm-hmm. So it's sort of that careful balance where it's not overboard clean, but it just appears
when you
tidy.
Start to stick to the floor, that's when it has to be cleaned.
Is exactly.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable eating things off the floor anymore when they drop. I feel like I'm going to end up with some type of, variation of COVID or something like that if I do that. So, anyway, so that's my thought on chores is that maybe reframing it a little bit, but that it is an integral part of contributing to the overall family.
Makes sense to me.
And you, same thoughts?
Yeah, same thoughts. I would, my argument to these individuals saying that it's child abuse would be, well, wouldn't it be, spousal abuse for a husband or wife to ask their partner to do chores then too? Like if you're going to call it abuse for, for kids, then it's abuse for parents. It sucks. Nobody enjoys doing chores.
No.
Right? But it's something that has to be done. And I agree with you. I think our job is to create responsible citizens who go out of our households and don't act like dicks to everybody else. And keeping a reasonably clean household is a part of that.
I mean, everyone has a different frame of mind of what abuse is. But to me, it's the repercussions of if that is abuse, there are so many other things that are also abuse. And I feel like the whipsaw effect of trying to, I'm going to say coddle the child and not treat them as if they are actually fully grown adult or person, human, et cetera, that can actually contribute. I feel like the whipsaw effect is far greater and not good for the long-term effect of the goal. Having them being responsible and actual contributing members of society.
Yeah. So we have five tips for getting your kid to clean their room. But before we dive into that, I wanted to read a couple of the comments, particularly from one of our followers that they'd left on this post. So the follower is Superhero Dad Alliance. And they said, "We conquered this in our house with some deep conversations about being grateful for, honoring, and respecting our space. No threats of punishment, no rewards for doing it right, just a deep understanding and acceptance of the benefits of organization. It took some time, and we have a few hiccups now and then, but it really works on a consistent basis." It goes on to say, "It did take some time. No rewards were given, but we did keep track. I keep a visual dry erase board of many things, reading, active activities, bedroom, chores, laundry, kindness, etc." Says some great things here. It was an exercise in patience as parents. It took a while to get buy-in and many dinner conversations using metaphors and examples before they started to own the process. I tried the rewards or punishment route before, and it never worked consistently. A huge point we drove home for them was the difference between motivation and self-discipline. This doesn't work for three-year-olds who lack logical reasoning, of course. We hit our stride around the age of 8 mark. The other thing, I modeled it myself. I make a big deal about how good I feel after I clean up my space. Our kids take more cues from what we do and how we act versus what we say, so I put on a show of how rewarded I feel when I do my own chores around the house." I thought those were some great comments. So thanks, Superhero Dad Alliance, for posting on the post.
That was a really well thought out, and I mean, that's a decent amount of work for Instagram too.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a novel.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, for Instagram, that's a huge amount of content. Yeah. Yeah.
Typing away on anime. So well done. And I agree overall. I think, I mean, nuts. So what he's saying is that there's no quick silver bullet necessarily. It's something that, just like most things, it's something they have to do over time and constantly reinforce and all these other things, like any other largely parenting aspect.
I thought you were going to give me instant gratification in this podcast tonight, Graham.
Well, we're going to try. We're going to try and balance that between instant gratification and not. It's... yeah, I mean, it's chipping away at a sculpture, trying to make it something grand. It all takes time, I guess. But
so you're saying our children are works of art.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. It's a good metaphor. So, Graham, what are some of the top tips for getting kids to clean their room?
So the first one that we want to talk about, I guess, is trying to put yourself into their shoes or understanding their perspective. And I mean, it's what I said at the beginning, like, no child likes cleaning up. I think in general, no person particularly enjoys cleaning up. You can enjoy the after effects of it. Oh yeah. Wow. Like, isn't everything nicely put away? I know where things are. I think that's one thing that's lost and missed on the benefits of not breaking your stuff. And knowing where things are all the time, not stepping on things potentially. I remember when I was at my dad's place, when my parents were separated at the time, and I had the upstairs part of the house. And it was just up the stairs, and there was just a guest bedroom to one side and my bedroom on the other. And the guest bedroom was just never used. It was a tiny little sort of room for one bed. And my room was just a huge, long room. It kind of awkward in the fact of the layout of it, just long. So, and basically I just had a bed in there, but there was so much space that there was no one else around. And so I just dropped shit everywhere. Right.
Right.
And I remember walking up to the top of the stairs, and I would, like, it's at the landing, right, to separate between the two different rooms. And so there was some space there before I got to my room. I remember, like, walking back into the guest bedroom to be able to take a running jump to be able to leap over all the stuff that I ended up having on the floor. And I landed on something that was sharp or whatever it is and hurt my foot. So I didn't make the distance that I should have, I guess. And at that point, I'm like, all right. I think it's time for me to clean my room here.
That was the tipping point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you could leave it, and maybe they will figure it out themselves. But still, understanding their perspective back to the point.
Right.
It's not fun. And so...
So how do you reframe it so that it can be fun?
It kind of goes back to the point that was described on that, is making it fun, and that tidying up is just, it is something that is done. It helps with figuring out where things are. It's as fun as it is to play. It's also fun to know where things are and be able to actually... I'm thinking of a Step Brothers part where it's like, there's so much room for activities.
Yes.
And having, when you confine yourself to a whole bunch of other places, like you're not able to really play and immerse in a particular area when there's just stuff everywhere. So like, let's have more space for activities. Mm-hmm. Let's be the Step Brothers and enjoy the space.
that makes a lot of sense.
What about you? Do you have another point that you can think of?
Well, I think teaching them how is a big one, and particularly given, you know, that I have a child with ADHD, walking into the room and seeing a huge mess is completely overwhelming, right? And, you know, a child doesn't know where to start. They don't have the... you know, executive functioning and organizational skills to be able to take a room that is a mess and figure out where they should start to put everything away. So just giving them clear instructions on where to start, rather than saying, go clean up your room, it's start with picking up three toys. Or all we have to do, particularly for a child with ADHD, is get them to start for 30 seconds. Right? Or 3 minutes.
Right.
There's lots of tips around dealing with ADHD children where a task is completely out of their interest. But if you can get them to start the task, their brain says to them that they're better off continuing that task than trying to find something else to do.
Oh, that's interesting. And have you tried that? Has it worked?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You know. Classic.
It depends on her mood.
Yeah.
But generally, if we can
scenarios every now and then,
if we can get her to start something,
yeah,
she's more likely to continue it.
Yeah, I would think, just touching on that, making approaching the topic or the challenge a little bit with them too. About, I mean, yeah, of course we can come up with some things themselves. Okay, well, what is it you want to put away first?
Mm-hmm.
Shirts or shorts or
toys
or
choices,
whatever it is.
Thing that you
back
always
to
go
my
back
classic
to.
Choices. Yeah. Trying to get them a buy-in a little bit about which part do you want. Like, we're just gonna pick out three things right now and just start small and work on this little area. Or I remember seeing somewhere as well talking about splitting up the room into different parts, saying, well, let's just clean this part up.
Like quadrants kind of thing.
Quadrants. I've seen that. That, unless you have tape around, I don't think is something that, I'm thinking more younger children, mm-hmm. that visually, I don't think they have the ability to really separate the room into four or whatever it is and maintain that. It's like, well, where does that stop? So unless you want to actually physically divide it up somehow, which you can do if it's that much of a mess, you could probably make some negative space and shift some clothes around whatever it is and actually say, like, you know, this is the area. So you could do that too, but they need to have it visual.
Yeah.
But get them buy in with their way of cleaning up. Like, do you want to do it with music? Do you want to, right? And so that sort of ties into the next point that we have, and that's making it fun.
Right. Turning it into a bit of a game. Like, how much can you get done in 30 seconds?
Yeah. I remember reading or hearing about this, like, sort of like a blitz cleaning, right? Like, what do you want to choose the cleanup song? Okay, let's do it, and we'll just go as fast as we can to, you know, doing things properly, of course.
Yeah.
but let's just all focus on doing a bunch of different things. I'll clean up the kitchen, let's say, mm-hmm. put these clothes away, et cetera.
For the length of this song?
Yeah, see what we can do.
Idea.
And have some fun of it. I mean, I think certainly kids are, for anyone, making it a game and, as you said, gamifying things. It sure seems like that's way more entertaining, right? When there's a game involved. And I mean, if they're, I don't know, level of the side of things, like dirty clothes, for instance, get like a basketball hoop, for instance, and hey, let's take a step back and see whether we can throw these clothes in the hamper, and okay, how far farther back can we go here? What can we do here? Okay, great. Like,
yeah,
that's done. And what else can we do with these clean clothes, and trying to make it more entertaining? And that sounds like, I mean, I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
Actually, see, throwing things from a distance.
Sounds like a lot more fun than me walking into the room with a garbage bag and just stuffing everything in there and walking out. So,
which is one thing I wanted to talk about as well. It was entertaining. Good old TikTok. Lots of conversations
the
on there.
TikTok.
Full of parenting advice as well, which, like most things. Anyways. One mom on there who had a 5-year-old actually getting a lot of backlash for her decision. Essentially, the son, the 5-year-old, told her to clean up his room. That's the paraphrased version of it. And her response was, well, okay, I'll clean it up. She took all the clothes or toys, etc., put them in a garbage bag, essentially got rid of them. At least according to the child, right? Or to the child's opinion. Turns out that she just had it in the basement, hidden somewhere. But anyways, that wasn't told, at least on the initial TikTok side of things. She recorded this whole thing and said, you know, mama is not raising any disrespectful person to say... She took it that he was disrespecting her as a woman, essentially, that it was her role to clean up after him, etc. I mean, I can't, who's to say that that was his thought? It seems like that would be incredibly deeper, I don't know, offside
that,
or whatever,
that
it is
would
from
have,
a 5-year-old.
That would have to be taught behavior.
Yeah, to say like this is a woman's place or something like that. You don't learn that when you're 5.
Yeah.
That's something that's over time. But anyways, a lot of people's opinions saying that's too much and people are traumatized from that, et cetera. She's backtalk a little bit more about that. Listen, this is not the first time. It's had lots of other conversations about this and sort of did the parenting route. So this is maybe the last straw. And it's another interesting perspective of you don't necessarily know the other person's situation, like a TikTok 15-second clip. And all of a sudden, you're able to put judgment on someone else.
It is amazing how much of that happens on social media.
It's just life as well, though. I mean, you walk down the street every now and then, you can maybe see a situation that you don't agree with, right? And you pass judgment on them too, thinking like, oh, like that boyfriend just seems like a real dick. Like, what a dick! But you have no clue what happened before that or what type of situation. Like, it doesn't necessarily excuse the behavior, but it's just you don't have any context for it. And I find that's always interesting as well. And that's one thing that I try and at least start to have the conversation with my kids. Well, not kids, 2.5-year-old doesn't. I mean, I'm just trying to get her to say R instead of, you know, wuh. but the 6-year-old, right? These are the things I'm at least starting to plant the seeds a little bit. But you don't know what other people are getting into.
Yeah. So going back to the lady on TikTok and packing the stuff up in a garbage bag, you know, one of the other tips that we have here is don't do it for them, right? That you need to, and I mean, you may be having a long day and it can be tempting to think, well, I'll just do it myself. It'll be quicker, you know, rather than spending the time and effort to get them to actually clean their own room. But it kind of works against you in the long term. By stepping in to clean the room, you're showing them that they don't, that you don't think that they can do it on their own. And, you know, that you don't have the belief in them. And that if they resist it enough, that you will do it. And so it creates the conditions for them to just, you know, neglect it. And leave it until you get so fed up with it that you clean it yourself.
It is very easy just to do it yourself because it is so much faster. as is most things, unfortunately, as business owners out there, whatever it is, like, it's sometimes hard to let go and have some people else because there's no one that can do it better than you or something. But yeah, I mean, isn't that parenting overall, trying to get them to learn and do things themselves and falter a little bit and walk through things. But oh man, isn't that, that's something it takes more time. I was hoping to fix this tonight and be able to have a
I wanted clean the easy room route. Tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. It is. I agree. Yeah, overall, I mean, it's, of course, you don't want to necessarily do it, but you can be there with them.
Like, yeah.
You know, not doing it for them necessarily, but okay, let's do it together.
Supporting them in
a team.
It. Yeah.
Doing it as a team, I suppose, I'm just thinking out loud here, but you can actually, and we haven't done this, but it might be worthwhile, is saying, okay, this needs to get clean. Would you like me to help you? Great. What is it that you want to help me with after the fact too? Because I could be doing something else right now and just making that part of the conversation that, listen, I'm helping you. And so therefore it's not like, oh, this one section is finished and now great. Thanks, Mom. You've halved my work. And now I'm going to go watch, you know,
exactly.
TikTok videos.
Yeah. Ensuring that they understand that, you know, you're both contributing to the family responsibilities rather than it's just, okay, once the room is clean, they're free to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Now, what's the next step when that's not working?
That sort of dovetails into the aspect of the last point that we have here, at least, and that's establishing consequences.
Right. Now, not punishment, but consequences.
Right. Everything is a choice. I guess that's the way I always try and think of things, right? Or at least the way I frame with my kids are trying to, like, there's always a choice. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do this. No one's asking you to do it. Obviously, I'm asking you to do it. But no one's forcing you to do it. However, I also have choices in other things too. And so if you don't do this, that's a choice, but don't expect that everything necessarily will be rosy on the other side of it as well. Setting realistic expectations of what happens when they're cleaning up and what happens if they don't.
Right.
So
what would be a good example of a consequence that's tied to it versus a punishment?
I think tying more to benefits of things, I suppose, is a carrot versus stick. It depends on which side you're on.
Mm-hmm.
You can explain about essentially, well, everyone loves screen time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
If you don't have enough time, you're not able to do this, well, then I don't think you have enough time to watch any screen time either.
Right.
And this is a screen time, all these things, these are all privileges as part of it's part of contributing to the overall household, do these things, right? If you don't want to do that, then some of these privileges that are part of the household are not going to be available to you. And that's what it is until it's finished. So up to you, right?
Right.
You can put it in their
court. That's the aspect of the choice again, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That if they choose not to clean their room, then they're choosing not to have screen time.
Yes.
Right. And so, you know, I think there's both carrot and stick in that if when you clean up your room, you get the screen time.
Right.
If you don't clean up your room, then you're not going to get the screen time. So it single-handedly, you know, accomplishes both carrot and stick.
Yeah. And we left that to the very end in the hopes that it doesn't come to that, right? You're having all these other conversations, you're setting all these different times. Right. It's only after probably a bunch of different attempts of trying to chip away at that sculpture. And then it just ends up like you just can't go anywhere. So I guess, well, now we have to have more of a conversation about it. But I'm presuming that having these conversations over a period of time, right, just setting that and back to the Instagram thing.
Yeah.
Right?
From Superhero Dad Alliance. Yeah.
Celebrating the fact and how good you feel cleaning up the space, like just really
modeling.
Exactly. Setting all these good behaviors aspects of it. Kids are overall trying to please, I think, just like most humans are.
Right? I'm noticing a trend through most of the things that we talk about on our podcast now is that being a model of the right behavior seems to be key.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a flawed individual, this is asking a lot.
Parenting, yeah, it's hugely introspective as a job, right? You're like, oh, man, cursing. Fuck.
Oh, right. I'm supposed to stop doing that. Right.
Oh, I can't. All right. Well, you know, whatever it is. Talking bad gossip.
Yeah.
You know, all these different things, like
showing respect to your partner and,
yes,
and to the kids.
All these different parts. You're like, well, really?
Patience. And
I mean, sure, back in the day, I feel like it's more back in the day. It's like the phrase, do as they say, not as I do type stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that really applies anymore.
I tried teaching that one to Allie,
yeah,
my middle one, the other day. She's like, no, Dad, that's not how things work. It's like, well, could they? Could we try it for a little bit?
Of do as I say, not as I do?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You, I suppose the one way you could try to frame it is like, you're supposed to be better than me,
mm-hmm,
right? This is, I'm trying to model and get you to be 4.0 miles pickup, right? I am flawed. I'm trying to get you to be better than me. So
yeah,
I'm a lost cause.
Yes. Yeah.
But you can change. You can do this. It's not me. I'm trying to get them on that. That's an interesting way of trying to frame it.
Yeah, that's good. So let's recap it. So what were the five tips here, Graham?
We have starting off is just trying to understand their perspective overall.
Mm-hmm.
And then dovetailing into that, it's teaching them how.
Right.
Breaking
it down into smaller pieces, starting with 30 seconds, that kind of stuff.
All those different things, exactly. And then we dovetailed into ultimately trying to make it fun.
Right.
Doing something that we talked about, all the different things. Be creative as much as you can be. It's an interesting challenge of,
mm-hmm,
they can find, I'm sure, challenge them. Well, what type of game do you want to do this time? What else can we do with this? And try and explore that a little bit. Certainly something. And then dovetailing into the fourth point is just not doing it for them, right? Being, yeah, part of the team overall, but it's not, okay, you know, you little Johnny, you're in the bathtub, I'll just go and clean the room for you.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the best behavior that you're
right,
trying to
do
teach
it with
there,
them rather than for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then are we going to dovetail again into establishing consequences?
If I said that a lot.
Yeah.
Then yes, we will dovetail. What is a dovetail, actually? It's interesting.
Using the saying, but you don't know the basis of it.
It's a word of the week, obviously. Tonight is brought to you by Dovetail.
Our newest sponsor.
Is when all else fails, ultimately,
mm-hmm,
right? Is establishing those consequences, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is what's going to happen ultimately, and trying to frame it more of a choice wise, et cetera. That's the thing. Has it worked flawlessly for all of us? No,
definitely not.
But that's why we're trying to write it out and think about all these different things. I mean, making a game, I think, is one thing that the aspect about that that's hard, of course, is that a lot of the time we all have things to do. We all want to get things done a lot faster, and like most things, if you have unlimited amount of time to be able to just go and have some fun and do all these different things, then the world is a lot easier. But sometimes that's not the case, right?
I think the key is also to understand that these are great tips for solving this, but that it's not going to solve it 100% of the time.
Right.
But if it makes it so that you are fighting less with your child about this, then that is a huge success, because every opportunity we can create to take something that would have been a screaming match into something that just gets done, even if it's just increasing it to half the time. That is a huge success.
Yeah.
And we have to forgive ourselves the situations where it doesn't work.
I know my wife's biggest challenge is that the reason why I put in is that don't do it for them. My wife definitely has that problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because our 6-year-old's room is the next one to our room. It's right on the hallway. So Vanessa walks by, she sees the room right there, and it just, it sets her up, right? She wants it to be clean right away. And it frustrates her to no end. But then she talks about how she doesn't necessarily have a whole bunch of time because all she's doing is tidying up and things, right? So it's you reap what you sow, or yes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Dovetailing into that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we've covered this topic nicely, and we'd love to hear from our audience. For anybody who has any other ideas or tips in addition to this, you can send us a note on Instagram at flaweddadpodcast, or email us at hello@flaweddad.com. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. It is so important. It really helps us out. And if you know anybody else who might enjoy the podcast, hit the share button and send over an episode, something you think they might like. We'd really appreciate that.
That's it.
That's it.
Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye.